This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and today on the show, we're going to be talking about some trends and insights about dating and relationship and sex.
From my own experience with emasculating men, there's a huge responsibility that's available for women in understanding who men are. While I can't make you be anything that I want, I can certainly understand who you are as a man and how to be more effective with you and get what I want. What lovership starts to bring to light are the woman's desires, the man's as well. Men can do a passion index also, and then you can share it with your partner.
Our guest today is Alisa Kreitman. Alisa is an amazing woman. She's the host of a show on Personal Life Media called Just for Women, a podcast. And I want to welcome you to the show. Welcome, Alisa.
Thank you, Chip. I'm so excited to be here and share all this juicy information with you. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate you making the time. Alisa is an author. She has written a wonderful book called Living Your Dreams, which I hope she's going to talk about a little bit on the show. She is, as I said, the host of an amazing podcast called Just for Women right here on the Personal Life Media Network. She's also a healer and a pretty interesting seeker and interesting mind looking at things sexual and about women and women's roles in dating and relationship. And today we're going to talk about things like the new feminism. We're going to talk about the difference between perhaps relationship and lovership. We're going to talk about women's sexuality with Alisa.
Fasten your seatbelts, everyone.
So I want to know first, what makes you an expert on this? Like, why should we listen to you even? What do you know about this?
What makes me an expert? Okay, first of all, I'm a woman. I've been a woman for a very long time. You know, it's always been my deep desire to understand myself and what makes me tick and how I can be the most effective, loving human being on the planet. And so really, my entire life has been designed around that. I've always been a pioneer, sort of pushing the edges of who I know myself to be. I've always taken on healing relationships in my life, namely with my family. You know, coming to California was a huge mind awakening for me and heart opening because, you know, I'm from the East. I was raised Catholic with an Italian mother and a Jewish father. So I just grew up with a lot of boxes and beliefs that I realized once I came to California, those beliefs weren't necessarily my own. And so I've been on an inquiry for a very long time as to who I am. And I think being the host of this show is really a culmination of that desire to know in a very deep way who I am. But the show, you know, Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex is very specific. It's for women who want more in their life, whatever it is, whether it's better sex, financial stability, how to communicate better with men, how to love herself more. So it's just another pathway for me to learn in a deep way with the experts that I'm interviewing and to share that information with other women. It's really my passion and a blessing.
It all sounds amazing. Now, I assume everyone would want to know, like the things you just said, everyone would want some of that. So tell me, what are some of the insights that you're getting as you talk to these experts?
Okay, I think my most favorite interviews so far are with, and not to pick favorites, because all of these interviews are incredible, from the Authentic Woman Experience, which I actually want to talk about in a little bit, because I did that course last weekend, and it is phenomenal. And that's one thing I want to make a point to say, is I actually do the work. I'm not a talking head who is just sharing information. I actually go in, I'm having these personal experiences, and I think that's one of the things that really makes the show juicy and why I can go as deep as I do is because I am doing the work and I want to empower women to do the work also. I want them to know the kinds of workshops that are available and to get in touch with these amazing course leaders and get coaching and do the courses, whatever it is, because those are the pathways and the keys to having the juiciest, most amazing life that I know women want to have. To just pick a few, I think the most insightful for me is with Alison Armstrong and all of her her work on understanding men. And in particular, she has this phrase she calls frog farmer. You know, she talks about women being frog farmers. We talk about that on the show. And what it is a woman who turns a man from a prince into a frog. And I noticed that I was a frog farmer. It's the most devastating thing when you realize, oh my God, you know, these guys are pretty great. And when I'm done with them, they're hopping off a lily pad into the water to get away from me. And I'm like, what is happening? And I think it's a really fun term to address a very serious issue that's happening among women, beautiful, powerful, savvy, together women who don't necessarily have the information on who men are that are really going to help them have a powerful relationship. And so I love that frog farmer. Another very poignant thing she talks about is women understanding how men respond, like actually communicate. And I've been trying this on in my life. It's called the 30 to 60 second pause. So when you ask a man a question, just be quiet for 30 to 60 seconds and let him answer. And what happens is men respond in layers. They'll give you the superficial answer at the beginning. And instead of taking him on a tangent, just keep listening, smile in silence, and let him slowly tell you the deeper levels of his experience or whatever is in his heart. Because a lot of women, they think men are shallow and he's not sharing and he's not telling me. No, it's all in there. We just have to learn how to listen and how men actually speak with us. Oh my God, I have so many examples of that in my life because I never knew that. And once I learned that, it was like a whole new ball game being with men. And it takes practice. I mean, I'm definitely a woman who has a lot of energy. I want to hear everything. I'm very curious. But with a man, really, the gift is in remaining silent and letting him just unfold that information.
I have to say that a part of what I do when I lead my workshops is we don't actually let people have conversations. You have 2 minutes to speak, the other person just listens. Then they have 2 minutes to speak, you just listen. For that very reason, in our conversation, we're so busy thinking of the next thing we're going to say, trying to prepare a response. We're so busy having to jump on the thing the person said that we don't give either men or women the opportunity to just slow down and think about what they're saying and then see if there's a deeper place to go. I'm curious about this. You said frog farmers. I love this idea. It makes me wonder, though, in my ego, I think you can't make me into anything that I'm not. Like, I've got free will and self-determination. How do you make me from a prince into a frog? Tell me about this.
I don't know. I don't think I would agree, because from my own experience with emasculating men, there's a huge responsibility that's available for women in understanding who men are. Criticism, mothering them, doing a lot of unconscious things that we were really probably raised to do. I mean, my mother, the way she related to my father was not very healthy. I learned that as a child, and then I had to unlearn that as an adult. And I think a lot of women are in that same boat. We are not taught anywhere how to have an effective relationship, how to understand men. That is why this category is so huge. It's why I do my show. It's why I bring authors and experts like Alison Armstrong, Susan Campbell, Celeste and Danielle, The Authentic Woman Experience. It's why I bring these people and give them more access and a mouthpiece to women to share with them. There's a whole font of information about how we can be more effective in our relationships. And yes, while I can't make you be anything that I want, I can certainly understand who you are as a man and how to be more effective with you and get what I want and have the kind of love, relationship, sex, communication, intimacy that I really want to have by understanding who you are, because we're just not taught that, and you're certainly not a woman.
So when I listen to you say this, my mind kind of goes to, oh my goodness, are feminists screaming, wait, why are you so man-centered here? And you know, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. And how does this relate to feminism?
Well, you know, you mentioned a sort of new feminism that's happening. And what I see happening is women are starting to take responsibility for being a woman. We're not men. And it's okay. I think it's so important to understand. It's critical. Look where feminism went. We get to these levels and we're like, rah, 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 we want this, we want that, we want more equality. Okay, great, good. Let's fight a good fight. But we also want to be women. We want to be soft and vulnerable and surrender.
her.
And stop fighting so much. I mean, one of the trends I'm noticing that is starting to be very much dialogued about is this alpha female, this concept of the alpha female who is making the money, running the household, this thing, that thing. But is she happy? I don't know. This is what we're looking at. Is she getting her needs met because she's having to take up all of the slack of the man? Is she able to be her natural feminine self? Is she having the kind of orgasm that she wants to have? Is she relaxing in the way she wants to? I don't know. You look at depression. You look at all these kinds of health issues that are coming up with women. So these are the kinds of things that we're looking at. I like to look at feminism in a new way, where feminine actually is working its way back into that word. And our natural feminine desires and flow can come and really feed and foster what we're doing. I'm not saying we don't have to work hard. Women are multitaskers anyway. We like to be in control. Yeah, but not all the time. You know, let's find the balance between having a powerful man in our life and being a powerful woman and opening up a dynamic that's actually going to work for both of us. Another concept that's coming up is this idea of lovership. Lovership is the bridge between dating and partnership. We have four dates and it's like, okay, this guy's hot. I think I'm ready to go a little deeper with him, have a little bit more intimacy, have sex, things of that nature. I'm not ready to have a partnership where we're going to share finances, move in together. There's this whole broad spectrum of kinds of relationships that are happening that I don't think people are talking about. Christian Carter, who's another guy I'm going to interview on my show, amazing information coming out of Christian Carter, who I actually did an interview with. He talks about the instant relationship, that women go from dating straight into unconscious instant relationship. This is what I'm talking about. This is why this concept of lovership is so important, because it inherently built into it is a foundation of communication, trust, honesty. Hey, what are the cornerstones of what we're doing here? I want to have sex with you. Okay, great. You want to have sex with me? Okay, great. Well, do you have any diseases that are going to kill me? Are we going to be monogamous? Are we going to be non-monogamous? What does this look like? And people are not having these critical conversations that actually feed a successful partnership.
This is amazing stuff. I want to take a short break, give our sponsors a chance to support us and give us a chance to support our sponsors. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. My name is Chip August, and we'll be right back.
Listen to On the Minds of Men, Uncensored Sex Talk with Dr. Lori, a weekly audio program bringing the best in sex therapy to your life on personallifemedia.com.
We're back. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. I'm talking to Alisa Kreitman. We're talking about women and relationships. And before we went to break, Alisa, you were talking a little bit about instant relationships and something about lovership and communication, talking about what you want. As you were talking, I had this moment of, well, how do people learn how to do that? We're very good at asking for what we want. I'm not clear we're even very good at knowing what we want.
It's true. We're not, which is why lovership is so important. I think it's a new training ground for people to start to access, especially women. What is it that I want? One of the first cornerstones of creating a lovership is this passion index, which is really a living list of what am I passionate about? I do an interview with happiness expert Amy Coget, and she talks about this lovership concept and the passion index, which is, like I said, this living inventory of noticing intensely positive and intensely negative emotion. What you do is when you discover, okay, I'm really having a strong reaction to this, you write it down in this journal and you start to inquire, what is at the root of this intense emotion that I'm having? The positive ones become what you're passionate about. The negative ones become your boundaries. It helps you create, this is what I'm going to go after. These are my non-negotiables, which is deeply important for creating a powerful foundation for you and your life, for what kind of relationship you're going to have. Now, where did this all come about? It doesn't come about. It's rare that it comes about in dating. Who's talking about this stuff? No one. And then we think we're going to get straight to partnership. What lovership starts to bring to light are the woman's desires, the man's as well. Men can do a passion index also, and then you can share it with your partner. But the thing I love about lovership is that it's so creative and it's so expansive and it so lends itself to people to get what they want and to really inquire and look. And And of course, from my experience, you know, there are hundreds of courses to take, books to read, you know, millions. How do you communicate better? You know, and one of the resounding themes that I hear over and over again is about this authenticity. I do a lot of work with the Authentic SF company in San Francisco. Their whole company is built around authentic relating. One big piece, you know, I mentioned the Authentic Woman Experience and how I had gone and done that course myself, changed my life, completely changed my life. They showed me the importance of women being honest about how they're feeling in the moment. Because I think women are so afraid to feel anger, so afraid to feel disappointment. We think we're going to get stuck there and we're going to be depressed, but that's not true. What we're finding is that the body really doesn't want to stay in a depressive state. It's not even the mind. It's really the body, because the mind's all over the map. We'll talk about that later. But it's the body that wants joy and openness. And so it contains all that anger from when you were a kid and repressed and closed and shut. And then you're told, oh, girls are supposed to be this way. Don't feel that anger. And we all know that it scares the heck out of men when we do that. So this course was about giving women finally the freedom. Just be angry. It's okay. Do it in a way that's responsible, but do it. And on the other side of me getting through all my anger with my sister and that relationship and how she didn't support me and, you know, all that stuff from the past, getting into those deep, angry spots on the other side is so much love. So much love I have for women in my life. I didn't even notice. I have a lot of amazing female friends, but I didn't even notice the subtle barriers, unconscious subtle barriers that were there between me and my women friends, me and female mentors. You know, it's like your blind spot. And so my blind spot started to become more and more visible to me, deep healing. And then on the next day, we did getting through all the deep anger with men. And I have to tell you, if any woman wants to have a powerful, successful relationship with men, we've got to get through those initial wounds. That's where I think we're headed with the work that people are doing now. It's somatic. It's in the body. We've got to give ourselves permission to have the feelings that we're having in a very responsible way, safe container, but have them, get it out of the body, because there's so much love on the other side.
There seems to be right now a whole body of literature which is telling men and women, no, you're talking too much. You're doing too much emoting. You're doing too much processing. And that really what men and women need to do is shut up. What they need to do is just look into each other's eyes. What they need to do is just be physically present, but stop talking. It's really, there must be 6 books on the subject right now that are all about not communicating. And then I listen to you and I'm imagining, oh my God, is my relationship going to be all I'm doing is talking about my feelings, all you're doing is talking about your feelings, and all we're ever doing is talking?
Well, that's a good point. And what I would say to that is the key in that is being responsible. And women, not necessarily utilizing a relationship with a man or even another woman, not having the relationship be the place for processing, but really doing the coursework, maybe going to a therapist, maybe going to a sex and intimacy coach. You know, there's so many kinds of coaches these days. I know people get really tweaked when, you know, you hear therapy and it's like, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. Therapy is the number one thing you could do for yourself. I don't know about traditional therapy where you're focused on the problem. You know, Amy Cogier, the happiness expert, her work is in the realm of positive psychology and organizational psychology, which is very distinct from traditional clinical psychology. Listen to that interview for the distinction. I can talk about that ad nauseum, but I don't know. It takes balance. I think it's a balance between, like I said even before, being quiet, listening to a man, being able to be present enough in your body to be with another. But listen, what's going to happen when you're gazing into somebody's eyes? Your energy is going to build. There's going to be heat. There's going to be, you know, movement. If your body isn't open to knowing how to flow that energy, where's it going to go? It's going to be more containment, more you going out of your body. So it's a balance. Let's talk. Hey, I'm thinking this. Are you feeling that? I don't necessarily think we need to process, but who knows? It goes back to the lovership and what kind of relationship are you going to have? What kind of relationship do you want? Because there's many types. You could have a relationship that's all about legacy and focusing on your children and leaving a legacy for them. You could have a relationship that's about companionship. We're just going to be together and we know that's the number one thing. You could have a relationship that's all about karmic dissolution and that we're in this relationship to activate every button that's in our body and we're going to stay together no matter what. I mean, there's so many kinds and types of relationships to have. And then there's the relationship that you want to create on your own. Call it whatever you want.
What if you want it all?
You probably could. I'm a huge advocate of having whatever you want. I mean, it's all about asking for what you want, knowing what you want, asking for it, and not being attached. And really, I think another piece of that is trusting the non-physical forces, the universe. You know, we've heard about the secret, the law of attraction, trusting that when you're really focused on what it is you want, that the universe is going to come up and support you in that. Trusting your intuitive guidance. Is this the next step I should be taking? That as well. So sure, you can have it all, but have some guidelines, have some parameters so you can stay focused. And what you might want in the moment from an ego place is not necessarily what you're spirit wants. So I think understanding the two and maybe dropping from your head into your heart or even the lower centers for guidance and information is important too. And I'm doing an interview coming up with a woman named Zen DeBrook, and she has this whole power manifestation, trusting your internal guidance system to live the life you're really meant to have as well. So
every other sentence you say feels like we could do an hour interview. It's great. We're going to take a short break, give a chance to show some support to our sponsors. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Listen to Expanded Lovemaking, a weekly internet audio program and podcast for men and women on Personal Life Media. Get advanced techniques that expand your lovemaking bliss.
We're back. My name is Chip August. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm talking to Elisa Kreitman, and we've been talking about women and sexuality and lovership and all kinds of wonderful things. Elisa, I want to learn a little bit more about you. So here you are, the sort of learning all this stuff about relationships and learning all this stuff about communication. Are you in relationship? Do you use this stuff in your life?
I use this every single day. I actually have a binder after I do an interview and I type up the notes. It's becoming a sort of relationship Bible. And I really hope that someday, I know I will, create a book out of this so women can have my gleaning of the top information of today's leading experts on what you need to know to love yourself, empower yourself, have the most juicy life you want to have. Absolutely. I use it. You know, I'm single right now, which is why I think I love the lovership concept so much, because I see the pitfalls that I have fallen into in putting men into boxes, giving up my own power in relationship, emasculating men unconsciously, emasculating men, not really even understanding how I was destroying intimacy with men. And I feel like I'm getting a PhD in what it is to be a woman. And it's just my honor to be able to share that with other women, because women are changing. There is a resurgence of, I don't even know if it's a resurgence, but there's something happening in the area of female empowerment where women are reclaiming their power. But again, like we had talked about before, in a very feminine way, where a flow and nurturance and self-acceptance and love and trust of oneself and why we're here as women, as we trust more and more our inner guidance, the more we start to see and manifest into our lives all the amazing things that we want to have, and how we stop looking externally for guidance from anyone, the men in our lives, the mentors, family, whatever, but really the journey within. And I think there's a lot being written and discussed about that. And so I'm an A number one proponent of bringing that information to women. And yeah, of course I utilize it every day. I wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't excited about it. And wow, that's a great tip. When I interviewed Alison Armstrong, it took everything I had to stay present, because she was telling me step by step, moment by moment, just laying out for me all the things I had been doing to destroy relationships with men, and I could hardly breathe. So I know if I can help one woman transform who she's been being so she can have the kind of love she wants in her life, I've done my job.
Elisa, before we go, I'd really like to know a little bit more about your book, Meet the Dreamer. It's a fascinating book. How did you come to write it, and how could people get it?
Well, Meet the Dreamer, I wrote out of my participation on an ABC television show. It was called How to Get the Guy, and it aired last summer. It was about four women in San Francisco looking for their love. And it was from the producers of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I would never have done a television show that was about competition and infighting and all of that. But this show was really fun, very respectful of a woman's process in finding love. And there were love coaches, and we were coached on dating technique, basically, and how to find the one man who was particularly interesting to me as the dreamer. I was cast a little bit as a kind of hippie type. Anyway, so it's called Meet the Dreamer, Elise's Four Cornerstones to Living Your Dreams. And the four cornerstones are dream big dreams, set powerful intentions, take bold action, and offer gratitude for all that you have. What I love about my book is that I wrote it before The Secret and the Law of Attraction really hit the mainstream, because I have been living this work for 7 years. And that is how I live. I focus on what I want and I vehemently go for it. I set powerful intentions every day. Every moment, really, if I find myself a little off kilter about something, I take bold action. Being on a television show, that's pretty bold. Being the host of Just for Women, pretty bold. It really helps me to stay alive. And then offering gratitude. What I love about that is it really gets you centered in why your life is great. And I think that sometimes we tend to forget that. But if we are focused on what we are grateful for already, that is a pathway to receiving more. If we're stuck in some mind spin about how terrible things are, we're going to get more of that. So each step is powerful and critical in and of itself. So it was really fun to write that book. And I really hope that women will check it out. You can buy it on Amazon at www.meetthedreamer.com.
On the text that goes along with this show, we'll also have a link. So if you click on the book title, it will let you purchase it. I always like to ask my guests if they have an exercise in particular that they could lead my listeners in, because I think one of the nice things about this show is that every show you get an exercise, you get something to learn. And I understand you've picked out something from your book. Would you share it with us, please?
So one of the exercises I think that are very powerful is something I call a transformation tree. And it's basically starting at the roots, going up through the trunk, out through the branches to the leaves. And it's about transforming negative thoughts, beliefs, or situations into the juicy fruit that you're going to be able to enjoy. So how it works is like this. So you find yourself in a situation where you're having a negative thought or a negative belief come up and it doesn't seem to be moving. So it's okay. You just want to go into the negative belief, state it to yourself. Maybe it's something like, I don't believe my ex-boyfriend really loved me. Okay, I don't believe my ex-boyfriend really loved me. You're noticing body sensations, your heart's tight, your stomach doesn't feel so good, you feel upset, you feel sad. The next step is to think about alternative possible perspectives. What is some other perspective you could make up about how you're feeling? Okay, actually, this is something I did recently. So I was thinking this, you know, I don't think he really loved me. I think he used me. I think he was just utilizing me as some kind of vehicle for his own garbage in his life. Whatever, you know, how the mind will spin out like that. So my next step was, okay, what are some other possible perspectives I could have about this? And I started to really think about some of the things he had shared with me about his life, his background, his upbringing, and things, declarations of love that he had shared with me, flowers he had sent, notes he had written. And I realized there are other perspectives here. And I thought maybe he just was so scared that he didn't know how to be with the love in his heart. Maybe he had no facility with really being with the depth of the love that he and I shared together. And then I thought, okay, that's one perspective. What's some other perspective? Maybe he just wasn't ready in his life to do the work that he knew was required, that being in a relationship with me was going to necessitate. So I started to think of all these different perspectives, and I actually started to feel better. The third step is asking yourself, how can I be responsible for this situation? Now, this is a very vulnerable place. How can I be responsible for this situation? And I really had to look and think, you know, I chose him. I was in that relationship. There were things that were happening that I wasn't necessarily 100% behind or for, and I didn't communicate. I went unconscious. I pretended, you know, and I started to list all the ways that I could be responsible for myself. Started to feel a little better. Fourth step, what thought, emotion can I let go of? So I started to think, I can let go of all this self-sabotaging thinking that he was really out to get me, that he was really just using me. I mean, I just let go of all that stuff. And I started to focus on, you know, he really did love me. He professed his love to me over and over again. He professed his frustration with how I was communicating with me. And it really, I had to go to the depths of what was really going on and take responsibility for how I was being and what I could let go of that were maybe probably probably just my own unconscious blocks and barriers to love. So I started to let go of all of those negative thoughts and emotions. The fifth step is, what action can I take today to turn this into my favor? And again, one of them, the second cornerstone to the book, powerful intentions. I committed to focusing on the good. I promised to focus on the ways that this man gave me learning lessons for how to relate with men, how he contributed to my life. He was the one that introduced me to the book publisher. He's the one that opened his heart and shared his world with me. So I started to create a new reality, which is the last step. I started to create a whole new relationship with this man, born out of the new thoughts and the new beliefs, which were much more based in responsibility, love, intimacy, and what we can create now versus getting caught up in some kind of fear-based, automatic, unconscious patterning from the past. This exercise is about creating new realities for yourself. And again, it's in my book, Elise's Four Cornerstones to Living Your Dreams, and you can find that on www.meetthedreamer.com.
Thank you so much. That's just great. Learning how to change our thoughts is learning how to change our mind. So thank you so much. It changes everything. I want to thank you for being on the show, Elisa. You've just been terrific. You're a wonderful guest. We are just about out of time. I want to say to my listeners a couple of things. One is that for text and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. Personal Life Media, as if it's all one word, .com. Also want to let you know that the friendly folks at ifrogs.com have given me all kinds of little goodies to give away. And so if you will send me an email with a suggestion for a show and I use your suggestion, why, I'll be happy to send one to you. Just send me an email and let me know. You can reach me. I'm Chip at personallifemedia.com. And I'm always happy to hear your comments and hear how the show is affecting you. So please get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much, Elisa. Thanks so much, listeners, for being with me. We'll be with you next time. Bye-bye for now.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.